And welcome to another episode of 2 Minutes Dos Minutos. It's great to have you on board once again. As always, we're here at the beautiful confines of the Zeus Tech Studios. I'm joined by producer Brian and Alf. The usual suspects are here. And Alf, it's good to be with you and producer Brian. Take Dos Minutos and let our listeners know what they're in store for today.
Well, Mike, we're going to talk about an exciting event that happened in South Florida. It was a 3-day event, and you were a critical piece of it. So we're going to take a critical view, and actually a very fun view, from your perspective of the Dwayne Wade celebration, legacy celebration, might I add. So that's going to be something unique because you were live there and you were involved in the actual planning and the direction that it went to, and also everything that happened you were part of. So that's going to be really exciting because people really don't get to experience the actual celebration from your point of view.
Well, I think that'll be a lot of fun. As you mentioned, it was a 3-day celebration, a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, all celebrating and honoring the greatest player in Miami Heat history, Dwayne Wade. And so I'm looking forward to sharing that experience with our listeners.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, everybody wanted to know is how did all this begin? Was it months ago? When did you hear about it? How did you get involved? That's what people want to know.
So it would be fair to say it was months ago. It was. The team knew that at some point during the season, we were going to retire Dwayne Wade's number. So the number 3 would go up to the rafters and it would never be worn by another player in Heat history. They just weren't sure exactly when that was going to be. So as we're looking at the calendar, the schedule's already come out. We know all the home games, we know all the road games. Now it's just finding what game or games, period of time, fits perfectly for a celebration. I don't think at the time they even thought of it as a 3-day celebration.
Oh, really?
I don't think so, because you're just looking at the calendar trying to see when can we do this. Without divulging too much on behalf of the organization, I know they were interested perhaps in a different game in retiring that jersey. But for whatever reason, that didn't work out. And so they landed on this particular weekend, which gave them an opportunity to make it a multi-day celebration. And let me just take a minute and explain to the listeners why we did it that way. Because a lot of people might think, boy, that's overkill. Why'd you do so much? Why'd you do it that way? Dwayne Wade's number 3 is now the 5th jersey number that we have retired in Miami Heat history. He joins Alonzo Mourning, Tim Hardaway, Shaquille O'Neal, and Chris Bosh, and now Dwayne Wade. The one thing we realized, all of those players are phenomenal players. 2 of them are in the Hall of Fame. They could all be in the Hall of Fame at any time, but 2 of them are in the Hall of Fame. It would just be impossible to give Dwayne Wade the respect and the due that he deserved in a 14-minute halftime if you just had this 14 minutes to celebrate what he meant, not just to the Miami Heat, but to our South Florida community as well.
Right.
So with that as the backdrop, they said, we need more time. We need to do the celebration and let more people speak and let the community respond and let our fans enjoy it in a multi-day celebration. That's where Friday came into play.
Hey, Mike, I got to be honest with you, 3 days, people think that maybe it's too much, but I think it wasn't, because he is, when you talk about Miami sports, there's no one at his level. The closest is Dan Marino in the NFL football. In terms of professional sports, he's the most decorated sports figure we have. He's the most decorated, the most successful. I mean, Dwayne Wade has won 3 NBA championships. I mean, he's been a critical piece of our success here in South Florida.
I would agree with you that he clearly is now the premier professional athlete in the history of sports in South Florida.
Oh, absolutely.
Without question. So they picked Friday night to do the actual celebration of his career with all of his current and former teammates. Then on Saturday, we played the Cleveland Cavaliers, and at halftime, it was the official raising of his number. Dwayne gave his speech, which was phenomenal. And then on Sunday afternoon, they opened up the American Airlines Arena for people to come in and get a first screening of Dwayne's documentary, which is now streaming on ESPN Plus.
Yes.
So you could go into the arena and be the first one to see that. ESPN released it later Sunday night. But if you wanted to get a before anybody else kind of first look at it, you could do that on Sunday. So that was the schedule of events.
Right. Can you let everybody know, when did you first get a script, or did you go to meetings related? How did you plan for this?
So we finally, I get word that they have scheduled, it's a three-day event. So the team contacts me and says, here's the 3 days we're looking at, the 21st, 22nd, 23rd of February. We're raising it on the Cleveland Cavaliers game, and we need you to be available to us on Friday night. And then, of course, your availability for the game is certainly understood.
Right.
So they gave me those dates probably 2 months, two and a half months before. So we're probably looking at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And then it's all in the hands of the marketing and operations people with the Miami Heat to put together what the events are going to actually look like, how they're going to flow, how they're going to run. So I got a script 2 nights before Friday. So on Wednesday, I got a script, a draft script of what Friday night was going to look like. And so I was able to go through that. And for our listeners, if you watch any of the major award shows on television, like the Oscars or the Academy Awards or something like that, we wanted to put a feel of something like that. And the only reason I say that is because in those shows, people are constantly coming onto the stage and leaving the stage, and another group is coming on the stage. And so my role in particular was going to be the traffic cop. I was going to be the one who's introducing and bringing everybody up on the stage and making sure everybody's getting to where they need to go. Now, the format that I did that is referred to in my business as the voice of God, VOG. And what that means is, as you're there live in the American Airlines Arena, which is set up for a concert, by the way, the night before, Premio Lo Nuestro was playing at the American Airlines Arena. We just kept that set design set up and used everything there. So that kind of helped give it that, you know, awards kind of feel to it. So everyone that's coming up, you hear this voice introducing them. You probably recognize it as mine, but you're wondering, where is this guy? Where's Michael? I don't see him. Well, that's because I'm back with the cameras. The stage manager and the cameraman and the three stage cameras, and I am actually working off of my script with a microphone doing Voice of God, introducing everybody as they're coming on and off the stage.
That's really unbelievable. So you had the best seat in the house, right?
Yes, I'm standing right there, middle of the stage. I'm staring right at it. I can see everything going on. I've got to be able to see what's happening so that I know when people are ready to come up on the stage, and I'm introducing the right people, and everyone's in the correct positions. And so it was great. We had a musical act there, Los Wizards.
Yes.
Los Wizards were the winner of our Battle of the Bands. Every year, the Miami Heat hosts a competition called the Battle of the Bands, where any South Florida band can enter and compete to be chosen as the Battle of the Bands winner. And it, as the winner, you get to perform on the floor of the American Airlines Arena at halftime of a Heat game. It just so happened this year with the Dwayne Wade celebration, and the Friday celebration was known as the flashback. This group got to perform on stage throughout the entire flashback ceremony. That's really cool.
Not only that, I thought they were fantastic. And then you also had the DJ there. Which DJ was there?
And as a matter of fact, that's a good friend of the show. DJ MDOT was there. DJ Irie also made an appearance.
That's right.
But you were listening to the sounds of DJ MDOT, who was on the ones and twos, as they say, throughout the evening. So we were really, really proud of our friend of the 2 Minutes Dos Minutos podcast, DJ MDOT. For being a part of that show as well.
So let's say you go into the arena, you get ready. How was the arena? Was it, was it a sold out audience? Did you feel a buzz?
So it was really interesting the way they had the American Airlines Arena configured. It was set up as a regular concert where you had floor seats and you had various sections with numbers, section one, section two, and those were for VIPs and sponsors of the Miami Heat. And then for season ticket holders and those that wanted to buy tickets, every other seat was a general admission seat. So first come, first serve, and that filled the entire lower bowl. So the whole entire floor packed with people, the entire lower bowl just full of fans.
Would you think it was maybe 10,000, 15,000 people there?
I would say it's probably pretty close to 15,000. I think the lower bowl probably holds somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 or 11,000 people, and that was sold out, and the floor was packed. So I think you're pretty good with that, about 15,000 people. And who knows how many thousands were watching at home on Fox Sports.
Oh, my. Sun. Oh, yes. I've recorded. I've seen it several times. It's just unbelievable.
So you asked about the feeling inside the
ambience,
building.
You know.
Yeah. So I get in there, and it's an odd feeling to begin with, because here it is, this giant concert setup, and not a soul is in there. So, you know, you're in this giant place, and it's very quiet, and then all of a sudden the doors open to the general public,
right,
and you start seeing the people coming in. And as they come in, the din is starting to build a little bit more. And so those folks watching at home may have turned on Fox Sports Sun at 7:30 and saw like a pregame show.
Yes.
With Jason Jackson.
Yes.
And Eric Reed and John Crotty. Well, while they were broadcasting that, we had live in the building a little bit of a pre-show, which included a performance by Los Wizards.
Okay.
It included a performance by the Miami Heat Dancers and a performance by the Golden Oldies.
Golden Oldies.
The Golden Oldies. That's our oldies dance group.
Oh, okay.
These are all retirees.
All right.
Who come in and dance to any genre you can think of. They'll start out dancing to Frank Sinatra and finish dancing to DJ Khaled.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah.
They are a big, big, big hit. So they performed as well. So we had our hosts. As I said, DJ MDOT was there. Iree was there. Those Heat fans that attend a lot of Heat games, you know our in-arena host, the one and only Dale. He was there as well. So we were able to entertain the folks live in the building until the main show was ready to kick off, which started at about 8 o'clock.
That's right.
With a towering crescendo of an introduction.
That's right.
Of Dwayne Wade.
That's when you start, that you introduce him. Do you want to give the folks an idea of how that intro went?
Sure. I don't have the script in front of me, but I think I can remember it. It sounded something like this. And now, stand up and make some noise for 13-time NBA All-Star, 3-time NBA World Champion, USA Gold Medalist, the greatest player in the history of the franchise, number 3, Dwayne Wade.
And not only was this the highlight of our show, but that was the highlight of the telecast, you know, when you did that. I mean, I think everybody went bonkers after you introduced Dwayne
Wade. It was a towering crescendo of fans going crazy. I've since made it. Someone reached out to me on social media. And by the way, to our listeners, hey, interact with us on social media. Dosemin Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. You can get to us at dosemanpodcast.com. We'd like to hear from you. You can ask me questions. I'm happy to respond. Somebody happened to ask me a question about how it felt knowing that I was such a big part of Dwayne Wade's mystique and career, that every time he scored a basket, I was the one to say his name. And my response was, it was surreal, because Dwayne Wade was the only athlete, the only name that I have ever announced that every single time I said his name, just saying his name, the crowd of 20,000 people in the American Airlines Arena went bananas.
Yes.
Whether it was just saying something as mundane as at the free throw line, Dwayne Wade shooting 2, the crowd went crazy. MVP, MVP, whatever it was. So that was incredible. Once again, it's like a match to a stick of dynamite. You know, you just say his name and let the place explode, and it did.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, I will say that after that, Dwayne Wade had a duet, if you will, with Rick Ross.
Yes.
And apparently has a rap song.
Earlier that day, he and Rick Ross released a rap song called Season Ticket Holder. You can catch it on YouTube. It's out now. And it also features Dwayne Wade's best friend, Udonis Haslam.
Udonis
Haslam is on that is on that song as well. And so I encourage you to check it out. It's a fun thing for Dwayne.
Now, you made these live announcements, but you were in every single video and tributing to a tribute to Dwayne Wade. Every single video, you know, when he would score or dunk or make a great play or block and you would say his name, people went bananas, and people didn't realize that you were part of all those videos, you know, that were in tribute to Dwayne Wade.
Yeah, the organization, the Miami Heat organization, was extremely generous to me in that when they put together these videos, you know, Dwayne's making all the shots, and we know them all by now, the big ones, the crazy ones, the insane ones, and you'd always hear in the background me saying, Dwayne Wade!
That's right.
So every single time Wade made a shot, Dwayne Wade showed up kind of, at that point, voice of God all over again.
A perfect union. And by the way, the voice of God, now I know when I'm dreaming and I hear a voice, now I know it's the voice of God. That's Michael Biamani.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
I hope you wake up from the dream, brother. You might be the voice of God for real.
That's right. well, you know, you introduce a lot of folks in your script. Now, I think this is the first time I ever heard you introduce Eric Reed, because there was three people at that time you introduced: Eric Reed, Darrell Wright, and Udonis Haslam. They were being interviewed, and that you introduced that. Was that the first time you ever introduced Eric Reed?
Well, it wasn't the first time ever, but it's rare that I have the opportunity to introduce Eric, because Eric is usually always on television when I'm announcing the Heat game. So what you saw there was kind of the first block of what we were doing that night. It was Eric Reed, our television announcer on Fox Sports Sun, along with Dwayne and Udonis, and as you mentioned, Darrell Wright. Darrell Wright, a former teammate of Dwayne Wade. And so really, the limitations of me introducing Eric is only when he is acting as a host or a master of ceremonies at these jersey retirement ceremonies. Normally, it's at halftime of a game, and I'll introduce Eric, he'll take the show from there.
Got it. Very similar
to where I brought those gentlemen up and then introduced Eric, and then he went ahead with his with his interview with the guys.
And following the script, you introduced Alonzo Mourning was your next one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you introduced Jose Piñera, which, by the way, he is the voice of the Spanish network for the Miami Heat, right?
That's right. Jose Piñera is la voz of the Miami Heat.
Oh, la voz. There you go.
A very interesting story about la voz and myself. We both went to high school together for a couple of years. And we wound up going to college together. So we've known each other for quite a long time. But I brought up Jose, and Jose had a nice feature with Dwayne.
Yes.
As he did it both in English and in Spanish, which I thought was a great recognition of what and who South Florida really is.
And he had kind of like the table that you guys sit on, and he tried to get him to do "This is my house" when he stands up on that. That was pretty funny.
That he had the scorer's table right up there, and so all my Heat fans out there will probably remember this game. We were playing the Chicago Bulls at home, but we were wearing our El Heat jerseys. It was some kind of Hispanic Heritage Appreciation Night or whatever it may have been, and so we were El Heat, and Dwayne hits a running 30-footer at the buzzer. I think it was in maybe second overtime. The ball goes in. We beat Chicago. He runs to the scorer's table across from me. Not my scorer's table, but the one across. Jumps on top, and that's where he has the iconic pointing down and saying, "This is my house. This is my house." He tried to repeat that in his last home game before he retired. And as he went to jump onto the scorer's table, couldn't quite jump as high as he could back a decade ago when it was the El Heat, "This is my house." And he stumbled on it and fell And so then he had to take a double take, and he got up there a second time.
That was funny.
Jose asked him during the broadcast of the flashback, can you repeat it? And so he kind of climbed up there very carefully, stood up there and said, this is my house, and brought the crowd to its feet. It was phenomenal.
And from there, you introduced Chris Bosch, which they had a segment of the Big Three. And then after that, you introduced the assistant coach. I don't remember his name. And Ray Allen.
Longtime assistant coach of the Miami Heat, David Fizdale.
He spoke very well.
Fizdale is a huge, huge favorite of all of us in the Miami Heat. He'll always be a part of the Miami Heat family. We love Coach Fiz. Just a wonderful guy and a great coach. And Ray Allen. And so that took the conversation into Game 6 of the 2013 NBA Finals when Ray Allen hit the shot from the corner to send the game to overtime, to which the Heat comes back and wins, moving it to a Game 7, and we win our second of our back-to-back NBA championships.
Incredible.
Reliving that was amazing. And that, I would say, short of me introducing Dwayne, that clip and that memory incited the second biggest roar from the crowd, as it I think it will for probably ever. It's the biggest shot in the history of the franchise.
Absolutely. And then finally, you introduced a next segment, which had to do with charity work that Dwayne Wade and Miami Heat are involved. You introduced Steve Stowe, which, by the way, I know, but you kind of made. You told me as a contact for United Way, you know, we had a United Way charity event at my company, and he was kind enough to give us some items for the Miami Heat to kind of like raffle and auction off, and also the Make-A-Wish Foundation people, and then there's a big check of $50,000.
Yes, so Steve Stowe is the executive director of the Miami Heat Charitable Fund, and he handles all of the things having to do with our charities, and there are a number of them now. There was also some Make-A-Wish alumni there, and as heartfelt as anything, some of the families from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas from that tragedy. Yeah. Dwayne Wade had really encapsulated and put his arms around those people and showed them a lot of love. And so it was their opportunity now, since Dwayne had done so much for them, to give back. And so to the Dwayne Wade Foundation, they presented a check for $50,000, which I thought was just
absolutely fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And then the international love story with the Chinese couple, that was amazing. They met because they went to a basketball game. They actually got married. They have a kid because of Dwayne Wade, basically.
That's a crazy story because of Dwayne Wade. But I was not aware of that story until we learned about it together there. But It was very interesting. They were both Dwayne Wade fans. The young man had his eye on the young lady in class, and he had made mention to someone that he was a big Dwayne Wade fan, and that person happened to point at the young lady he had his eye on and said, "Well, you know, she is too," and so that's how they got to talking with each other. Fast forward, they start a relationship and a romance, and the next thing you know, they get married. They get a chance to meet Dwayne in China when he's there with some of his responsibilities that he's got going on. And Dwayne makes the comment to him once they got married that, hey, you know, time for you to have a kid or something like that. And before you know it, they have a child, and the child's middle name is now Dwayne.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And so there's Wade holding the baby and apologizing to the guy for putting him under that pressure to, you know, have a kid. But that was a wonderful story. Thank you for bringing that one up.
No problem. And there was a gift from the players to Dwayne Wade, the number 3 wine rack. I thought that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And then the Pat Riley, I call it the flashpoint speech. I mean, he talked about flashpoint when it happened, you know, when he made that shot, you know, and he just talked about Dwayne Wade and how he made a difference to the community, to the Miami Heat, to everyone. You know, just unbelievable. I think he speaks very well. And then they finally put the number 3 jersey up with confetti. What was that feeling like, you know?
You know, you almost feel like we just won the championship again as you see that, because you've got the lights are flashing and the music's blaring and the confetti's flying and here's this giant banner in front of you. I mean, the energy is amazing. And to all of our listeners out there, you'll see this picture. It'll be one of the pictures we put up as we promote this episode. So it was phenomenal. And I have to say, it wasn't just those people, those players, those teammates that were there. So many people took the time to send a video message. For example, Caron Butler sent a video message. Also,
Shaquille O'Neal
sent one. LeBron James sent one.
Yes.
Dwayne's college coach, Tom Crean, sent one. His high school coach was in the arena that night celebrating with him. So it really was, just from start to finish, just a phenomenal event.
And then it ended with a video that starred included the Gladys Knight song, Neither One of Us Wants to Say Goodbye, which I think be the first to say goodbye. I think that was really very, very appropriate. And then I heard you say goodbye and drive safely, so I think that was a great way to close the night.
Yeah, that's usually the way we close every single night is, we want to thank the fans for coming out to tonight's Flashback Celebration. We hope to see you tomorrow night when the Heat hosts the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as always, Heat fans, please drive home safely. Good night!
That's right. And this is a good segue for Saturday. So Saturday, it's the actual jersey retirement ceremony for Dwayne Wade. We were killing them in the first half, by the way.
Up 30, I think, at the half. Yeah, we had scored 82 points, the most that the Heat's ever scored in a half. We're up 82-52 at the half. You figured, okay, this now we can all just sit back and have fun at the jersey retirement because this game's over.
Yeah. So walk us through the actual jersey ceremony. How did that go? I know you did. I heard you say something about watch your Heat TV, or you say some kind of announcements to get the audience to look up, I guess, at the monitors, and then the whole thing starts.
Right. So it's a little different celebration than we've had for the other four players that I mentioned. Their celebrations were set up a little differently. This one was going to be just short and sweet. I introduced Pat Riley. Pat made a very brief statement and introduced Dwayne, and then it was up to Dwayne and his speech. And Dwayne gave a phenomenal speech.
Yes.
For those of you wondering, a lot of people have asked me, oh my gosh, he had that committed to memory. He's actually, you can see the time and the work and the effort that Dwayne has put into this craft of public speaking. He was actually speaking from a teleprompter. And if you have never done that before, that is not easy to do.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times you can make it sound like you're reading, and he did not want to sound like he was reading. He sounded like he was speaking from his
heart.
Right.
So that's right.
He knew the speech. And I think the teleprompter was there just to help him along if he needed it. Made a phenomenal speech, hit all the right tones, thanked all the right people. At the end, even went so far as to thank the people who you never see in the organization. The people in the business side, the people that go to work there every day, the ushers. He really did a wonderful job of thanking everybody and having his family there and speaking about his mom and his dad. It was really a nice evening. And then a little interesting touch, Pat invited his family to go over to the jersey, and actually the family took the rope and pulled the rope to raise the jersey to the rafter while Dwayne is looking at it. And I don't think there's very many dry eyes in the whole place, man. It was
Gabrielle Union and their daughter.
His wife, Gabrielle Union, and their daughter, Kavya, who's just a couple of years old now. But then his son was there as well, and his mom and his dad. And so they were all there watching with pride, and Heat fans are all on their feet. And it was a really special moment.
Then that kind of ended the Saturday. And then Sunday came around, and D-Wade had his own documentary, featuring himself. I thought that was a well-done video, if you will, documentary of his life.
Yeah, Bob Medalist did a great job on that piece. Bob has been with Dwayne for a long time. And somewhere early in Dwayne's career, they had the wherewithal to say, we got to get all this on video for who knows what. And who knows what became this documentary that you can now watch on ESPN Plus streaming about Dwayne Wade and his life and his career. And the advantage there was fans could come in and for a small donation, I think it was a $3 donation to Dwayne's charity, it was a matter of you get in and you can watch this documentary before it came out, because it didn't come out until Sunday night on ESPN. So that was kind of a nice thing to do. But they took it one step further, and Dwayne Wade was actually there.
Oh, my.
Sunday afternoon.
Oh, wow.
And so Jason Jackson was back and did a nice little one-on-one interview with Dwayne Wade. And it was an intimate group, but if you were there, it was special. You got a chance to take your picture in front of the giant banner, which is now hanging in the rafters. You can take my word for it. I saw it last night at the Heat game that I was at. It's up there now. But it was down floor level, and you could take your picture in front of it.
Wow.
You got a chance to hear from Dwayne and then watch the documentary.
During this, especially on Friday and Saturday, did you meet anybody that you were surprised at, like maybe because there were so many dignitaries, special people there?
Well, there was a lot of dignitaries. The one actress that I still haven't been able to figure out what the link was that got her there, it's a throwback. Now, you guys will remember her. Some of our younger audience may not, but the actress Linda Carter.
Oh, yeah. Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Linda Carter was there sitting right up front, and I don't know what the relationship is there.
Oh,
I haven't been able to figure that out. I've asked a couple of people, and nobody really knows yet. If any of our listeners know, hit us up on social or let us know what the connection is, because I don't know yet. But I was fascinated at that. There's Linda Carter who played Wonder Woman back in the 70s.
Absolutely.
And still looks today as striking as she did when she played Wonder Woman.
I liked her in that Invisible Plane, I really did. Well, with that said, Michael, one last thing I want to say is that I know that was a Dwayne Wade celebration, but on behalf of the Miami Heat organization, I want to thank you for giving us 29 years and counting of fantastic moments with your voice, the voice of God, if you will. So I want to thank you very much for being very active in the games and having us the moments of fun and pleasure.
Thank you for saying that, Alf and producer Brian. And over these 29 years, I've had some incredible, incredible experiences. And thank you for letting me share it with our listeners. And to our listeners, thank you all for experiencing it. And it's always fun to have a chance to give you all an idea and a behind the scenes of what goes on at some of these events. And so, as always, that's another excellent episode of 2 Minutes Dos Minutos. Thank you all so much for listening. And as you know, we'll be back with another episode. Take care, everybody.